Up, I'm Pastor Tim. And we'll fellowship too. But this morning I want to continue on the One Another series, talking about encouraging one another. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to jump over to Romans chapter 15, so you can kind of hover there, but we're going to start at Hebrews 10, and while you're turning there, I want to ask, there's a couple teenagers that are going to come up, I believe AJ and Alyssa, and if that's not true or there's anyone else, go ahead and come on up at this time. And I asked them to come up because they just got done. There was a lot of kids that went to a church camp, okay, or youth camp. And there's a lot that's happening. I could have every kid lined up here, and they can tell you something that went on. But I asked Pastor Chris, just pick a couple of them. And because when we talk about encouraging one another, what I want to talk to you about today is not how do you just feel good or how do you just get the holy goose pimple feeling and then it passes. But what is it that God's doing and speaking deep in hearts and lives? So just tell me, AJ, we'll start with you since you've got the microphone. Just what went on last week and just kind of what the Lord was doing at camp.
All right, so we went. So it's really awesome to just like get together knowing you're not the only one. So if you're ever interested in going to camp or you have a kid that might want to go to camp, why not?
Yeah. What is it, Kenna, that the Lord maybe spoke to you and that you were dealing with, that you heard the Lord speaking something to you while you were at camp? No pressure.
Just like not only did the Lord do something in me, but watching our team and middle schoolers go to camp this last year, I'm a people watcher, and so like I kind of like sneak around and stuff, but just seeing everyone's hand raised during worship and everyone's head bowed down, and when they're worshiping the Lord, and just seeing them like give it all they got, and it's just an amazing feeling just as a team to like know that you're not the only one, and like who, like no one cares around you if you're like raising your hands or anything.
Nice. Let me ask you, AJ, what did the Lord speak to you? Because I know you were sharing some things about direction the Lord's leading you.
Yeah, basically speaking to me about my future, about going to the Emerging Leaders Network in Madison, Wisconsin. Madison ELN, it really focuses on your hands, heart, and head. So basically, last week, he really spoke to me about having my heart prepared to change, because that's going to be one of the main things to become a pastor, which is what my goal is, to have a change of heart for God, to just mainly strive for him.
Amen. Anyway, can you give them a hand and encourage them as they share their testimony this morning? Thank you, guys. But now, what ELN stands for is Emerging Leader Network. What they're doing is in Madison, Wisconsin, they have a group where they are equipping and training youth to be leaders. And not only if they want to be a pastor, if they want to be a policeman, a doctor, a lawyer, a maker of WD-40, whatever it is you want to do, take that year and get a solid foundation. And you're going to be hearing more of that. We're looking to do an ELN here in Clinton. So that'll be a nice thing to see here, where we're going to be having some teenagers that will be coming, and we're looking to start an ELM program here. And what's cool about that is it's not, hey, church, here's something I'm doing, and I'm just going to let you know. This will be a, hey, church, here's something we get to do. We get to, as a church, embrace them and help in the process of equipping them, empowering them, helping them get a foundation. So you'll be hearing a lot more about that. Now, why did I have them come up and share today? Because I want you to be encouraged in your heart to see teenagers who are being raised up. And they're hearing, and not only hearing about what God is in their life, but doing something with it. Many different avenues. You know, when I grew up, this is just my perspective is all it is. But there was this sense of, you're either being called into ministry or you're over there. Kind of, you know, it's kind of like that. Not that that was wrong. It's just, you're either called into ministry or you're not. where I really believe that God is calling some into ministry, but he wants some of them in the work field. See, we're all called to be ministers of the gospel of Christ. Some of us are going to do it as a policeman. Some of us are going to do it as a doctor. Some of us are going to do it as a mom. Some of us are going to do it as a salesperson. But whatever profession it is, you have to have that foundation, and you have to grow. And in this series of the one another's, this week we focus on encouraging one another. I want to go kind of I'll be honest, first service, I thought I was heading one direction and we ended up over here. Because to be an encourager in a biblical way, the way the Bible talks about, is it has less to do with how you feel, and it has more to do about whether you will obey or go when God says go. Because as we'll find out here in a moment, encouragement has less to do with if I'm feeling it or not, and it has more to do with responding to God calling to us, whether we're going to function within that or not. You know, on October 24th, 1929, the stock market crashed, and it led to a season called the Great Depression. And in that time, it was horrible. Lives were turned upside down. The highest rate of divorce, it skyrocketed. People were committing suicide. Businesses were flopping, and they were living in the Great Depression. Now you fast forward to today, and I still believe that many are living still under a cloud of Great Depression. There's a sense of discouragement, a weight of disappointment. And if people were to tell their stories today, it would all end the same way. Life's not been fair to me. It's kind of the theme that comes out. You know, you could be having a relationship that's going sour, children gone bad kind of, and you're not able to overcome, and career breakdowns, and you're just saying, I've got every reason, I've got every excuse, but it would all end the same way. It's like life is not being fair, and we become disappointed. Now you might say, Pastor, I thought we were going to talk about encouraging one another. What's all this disappointment and discouragement talk? You see, if we're going to learn what it means about encouraging one another, the question on the floor is, if we don't have within us the capabilities to be encouraged from the presence of the Holy Spirit, what in the world are we going to encourage those around us with? You get where I'm going with this? Encourage one another. If I say, go out and be nice, be kind, buy somebody's lunch, tell them their hair looks great, oh, that outfit looks adorable, you know, whatever. That's great. You'll encourage them, they'll smile, but that won't last. That'll be seed that will be scattered, that will just wither up and die really quick. So how do you scatter seed and plant seed that takes deep root? You encourage one another in a biblical way. What does that mean? It means you can't give what you don't have. So if you're going to encourage others the way God talks about, then you need to be encouraged by the presence of His very Spirit. So the question is if what you have to give comes from within you, my question for you and myself this morning is, what do we have? What's on the inside? Do we really take that time and feed ourselves spiritually? Do we develop ourselves to become accountable, to become responsible? Because we waver sometimes and we want God's blessings and God's benefits. We just don't want to do the time, so to speak. We don't want to put in the effort. We just want to hand it to us. But have you ever given a kid a gift that they didn't have to pay for or work for, and they treated that gift poorly, left it outside, left it out in the rain, you know, threw it down the stairs? They don't care. Why? Because they didn't have to pay for it. And God says, I got a gift for you that's been paid for, but we forget how great this gift is. Therefore, why do we need all this? Why do we need to be encouraged in our hearts and in our lives? Remember, the premise of the one another's is we're building off of our horizontal relationship with others is directly related to our vertical relationship with God. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and the mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love one another. As you've done to the least of these, you've done first of all to me. So in other words, he says, you are to love one another, serve one another, accept one another, encourage one another, edify one another, because to the degree that you can do that will be the degree that the Lord can bless your life. If you can't do that with one another, you will limit God's blessings in your life. Well, Pastor, I thought that God blessed you so you could be a blessing to others. He does. He does. But the little that you have right now, if you don't do something with that little that you have, why should He give you more? Why should He entrust more to us if all we're going to do is hoard it, keep it, save it? I might need it later. You see, we have to encourage one another. We live in a day at times where depression becomes just overwhelming. It becomes the sense of a cloud or a fog that comes in and takes over our life, and we feel like we're going under, and then we get this sense of I just want to stay in bed. I don't want to do anything. I'm just not motivated. We start medicating and looking for tools to cope with this funk that we're in, only to discover the tools that we use to cope with create a greater funk, a cloud or a fog that we get lost in. So we need something more and more and more until we get to this place of depression and despair that we want to give up. We want to quit and we want to throw in the towel. That's exactly who Paul, well, the author is actually unknown, is writing to. We're going to look at the book of Hebrews. And the author of Hebrews wrote to a group of Jewish Christians who are, they're depressed. They're in despair. They want to give up. They want to quit. They want to throw in the towel. They're saying, this just isn't working. I don't get this Jesus stuff. And it's just not happening for me. So how in the world can I come to this place of being an encourager when I am not encouraged myself? You see, that's where the Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit. Because you can't give what you don't have. If you have the Spirit of God within you, you can be an encourager. But if you rely on you to encourage your own strength, you're going to be limited. You know, if you want to run your life on all my wisdom and all my knowledge, you may last one day. More reality would be like half a day. But if you rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and teach you, then you will be able to accomplish any hurdle that you face, because greater is He that's within you than anything that you will face in this world. So, the author is writing to a group, and he says this in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll read it to you as soon as I find it. There it is. Verse 19, let's start there. Therefore, brothers, since we have a confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. He speaks to this group of people who are Jewish Christians and says, be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. I know you want to stop. I know you're not feeling it. I know you just don't feel like keeping on, keeping on. But he says, just one foot after the other. When it seems the darkest, that's when God will come through. And he says, just don't quit. He says in verse 16, if we were to back up, he says, what God makes with you and me is He makes a covenant. He makes a covenant with you and me. Verse 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. So God is saying this, I got a deal for you. He says, here's my deal. Here's my agreement. I will make a covenant with you that says, I will cover you by the power and the anointing of my Holy Spirit so that you can be encouraged through my Spirit so you can accomplish all that I've called you to do. Did you follow that? That sounded kind of Christianese right there. I know. How do we put some skin on that? How do we make that real? Well, God has made this covenant. He says this. He says, I want to give you some keys to understanding how to be an encourager or to receive encouragement, because we hit seasons in life where if you're doing good right now, you're saying, Pastor, my life's going pretty good. I've got nothing to complain about. I can be content in everything I have. Keep on living, okay? Because it's coming down the pike. Life has a way of finding you. And if you're not needing that encouragement today, then you are to be an encourager, because there are some people here today that need to see another believer that's faced the same things you face, and they've come through and gotten to the other side. That's called a testimony. That's what our teenagers just did. And by the way, that's one of the most powerful tools. You overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's very powerful. So what are some keys to encouragement? Number one, write this down. And by the way, there's an outline in your bulletin if you didn't see that already. Number one, boldly enter into His presence. Now, what does that have to do with being a key to encouragement? Well, if you don't know how to boldly enter into His presence, and you don't know that you can boldly enter into His presence, then what do you have on the inside that you can give to somebody else? You're saying, God is able. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I know that, but I'm still afraid to go into His presence. And I can tell somebody that God is good and faithful, trust Him, and they could turn right around and say, do you trust Him? Well, no, I don't. I'm too afraid. But you do it. Because God's good. No, we have to be understand this principle. If we are going to understand a key to encouragement, then we have to understand that we have access to the throne. Did you know that? Did you know that? Okay, 20 people know it. How about the rest of you? Did you know that? You have access to the throne. Me? But you don't know what I was looking at last night on my computer. Nope, don't need to either. God knows, and He says, I've still covered it by the blood. He says, you just ask for forgiveness. You repent of your sin. Now, I'm not talking about you can go out and sin however you want, and God's going to be okay with it. I'm saying that if you are carrying any shame, if you are carrying guilt, if you are carrying this pain of abandonment, this fear of failing, whatever it may be, and you say, I don't feel like I can come before God's presence because I don't feel worthy, then you don't understand what it means to boldly enter in. He says, you bring all that shame and you bring all that guilt and you bring it into my presence and I will exchange it for grace. I will exchange it for mercy. I will give you my peace and I will give you my joy. But if you don't enter in boldly into His presence, you see, we forget what that means. You know, we lose sight of who we are and we want to draw back sometimes. We want to give up and quit and throw in the towel. And He says to them, don't go back. Instead of going back, go forward. He said, don't regress, progress. Go forward. Don't give up. You know, a lot of people don't know what Jesus has done, so they're satisfied with the mediocre stuff in life. They forget that Jesus paid the price, died on the cross. So they're satisfied with, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, is there anything wrong with that prayer? No. There's nothing wrong with it, but how many times have you said it and it was just something that came out of your head? It was a nursery rhyme, a poem, if you will, that we learned and we repeat. It didn't really come from the heart. You see, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that prayer. I'm saying when it's disconnected from the heart and we don't know what it means to take those words and boldly enter into His presence, then we miss what it means to receive encouragement from the very presence of His Spirit. We have access to the throne. There was a soldier who sat outside the White House one day, crying. I mean, he needed to see the president. He was just bawling, I got to get and see the president. It's a matter of life and death, but he knew I can't get past the front gate. And even if I got past the front gate, there's another security check that I can't get past. And if I got past them, I got a whole SWAT team of guys who would stop me, but I need to get to the president. It's a matter of life and death. And a little boy walked by and saw him crying and said, Mister, what are you crying about? And he said, I got to see the president, but there is no way I can get in there. And the little boy said, come here, mister, and grabbed him by the hand, walked past the first security check, walked past the second, walked past the third, brought the man right into the Oval Office and said, Dad, this man needs to talk to you. Did you know that you've got the Son of God who says you can enter boldly into the throne room of God? You have complete access, and He will grab you by the hand. He's paid the price, and He's paved the way so that you can go into the presence of Father God. But Pastor, you don't know what I did. No. And you don't know what I did. But He said, you know what? My grace is sufficient. I can cover that. If it's a matter of sin, repent and say, God, forgive me. He can do that. We'll be talking about that in the next 2 weeks. Forgive one another and restore one another. Because that's so important. But if we don't learn to receive or be encouraged in our hearts and boldly access that throne room of grace, how are we going to be an encouragement to others? We won't be able to. Today, people are looking for so many connections in social media, desperate to connect with people who have somebody to listen to them. People desperate to have somebody listen to what's going on in their life. And God says, I want to encourage your heart. I want to send my Spirit to give you that boost so you don't have to live that life of shame. You don't have to live with that guilt or that hurt or that embarrassment. You can be set free, but you've got to come. Come into my presence. Access that great throne room. Number two, write this down. Another key to encouragement is, number one was to enter boldly. Number two is to draw near regardless of how you feel. If you're going to learn what it means to be an encourager or to be encouraged, we have to draw near regardless of how we feel. You know, do you know that we don't live our life of faith by feelings? That's why it's defined by living by faith. If you were to live by your feelings and you were going to go to God when you felt like it, guess how often we go to God? Never. Because we don't feel that. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like raising my hands. I don't feel like singing a song. I don't feel. That's why the Bible doesn't say you live your life by feelings. You live your life by faith. Because God knows if you live them by feelings, you will be limited. And if you're going to understand what it means, not just encouragement, meaning how can I make someone feel good or how can I feel good about something, real encouragement and learning what it means to encourage one another means that we have to be willing to receive from the Holy Spirit, and then what He deposits in our hearts and our lives, we in turn give to others and encourage them. How do you do that? Boldly enter, but draw near regardless of how you feel. Because feelings will keep you away from the presence of God. Say, you don't want to go to church today, do you? No, I don't want to go to church. You don't want to pray today? No, I don't want to pray. If it's all about feelings, we're going to miss out on God's best. He say, the author of Hebrews looks at these people and says, I know you don't feel it. And that's why you can't let your feelings dictate your actions. Because the moment you do, your feelings are going to take you away, not bring you near to His presence. He says to those that are thinking about quitting, I want you to draw near. Verse 22 says this. It says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, not feelings, faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says it's about faith, folks. He says if you want to be encouraged in your heart and if you want to be an encourager, then you have to draw near to Him. Draw near to Him. Number three, write this down. Hold fast and don't throw in the towel. You got to boldly access the throne room of grace, draw near to Him regardless of how you feel, and hold fast and don't throw in the towel. In other words, what he means is this. He's saying, choose to identify yourself with Christ and don't be ashamed. I do a chaplaincy with the sheriff's office, and one of the things they give me is a badge, so I'll clip that badge on because they want me to be identified with the sheriff's office. So I feel pretty good when I put that badge on. I put that badge on my side, and I walk around like this. I make sure everybody sees that badge, you know. That's right, baby. You don't want to mess with me because I don't know what I'm doing is really what I'm... But I put on this badge. They give me a vest and a shirt because they want to identify me as part of who they are, and that means... I can have access to their squad car. I can sit in their squad car. I can ride with them all around the county. And when they pull somebody over, I get to get out of the car and walk to the front of the car like I'm one of the team, when really, you know, I'm the chaplain. I'll pray for you after they shoot you, okay? That's about the best I can do. Because they don't give me a gun. I've asked. They won't let me have one. I've asked for lights for my car. They won't give me that either. So they must know something. And when I ride with them, I identify myself with them. But I remember one day. They said, Pastor, we need you to come with. We got to go talk to a mom whose son just died. And we want you to go with. I thought, okay, you know, it's not something I really was feeling. Who wants to sign up to, hey, I'll ride around with you and handle deep stuff like that. But I went with them and I put my badge on and all that. And I walked in, and when the sheriff shared the news about her son, she went off. Now, as any mom would, a mom that loses her son, the emotions and the feelings, I can't imagine. And she just, I heard every word under the sun. And it was all directed at the sheriff's office. And you know what I did? I found myself doing? I found myself going like this. Backing up. And I was covering my badge. I mean, it didn't like, you know, something I was thinking. I was doing it. I put my hand over the badge. You know why? Because I did not any longer want to be identified with the sheriff's office, because right now they were seen as the one who was the vehicle of bad news. And I started to back up. And I sensed the Holy Spirit. You know, he shows up and he goes, where do you think you're going? Back here. Where are you going? You know. At that moment, I did not want to identify myself with them, not because I didn't like the sheriff's office, not because I didn't support them, but because at that moment, I wanted to draw away, and the Holy Spirit was going, uh-uh, you hold fast, you stand there. That's what you're here for. And I thought, oh, good grief. Fine. Took my hand off my badge. I took one more step forward, but I kept my head down at first, you know. There was a moment there where I was learning something, and many of us in our lives will walk through times, and God will say, who do you identify? We identify with you, God. And all of a sudden, we'll go through some topsy-turvy times. We'll hit these moments of despair. I'm all alone. I'm going through bankruptcy. Pain's hitting my home. I'm facing physical challenges. Or maybe it's somebody else that's going through it, and they're questioning God, and they're looking to you for answers. And you start going, ooh, you start covering your badge. You start backing up. And God says, no, you hold fast. To be encouraged through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have complete and total access to the throne room of God. You draw near regardless of how you feel, and then you stand firm. You hold fast. You stand there. Why? Because this has nothing to do with you, Jim. You stand there because I am going to work through you. That's what's going on, and He will do the same for you and for me. Maybe you're facing a difficulty, and you're saying, this just isn't working out, and I don't know if this job's going to, if it's going to happen. I don't know if I should have bought this house. I don't know if I made a wise choice, and you want to back up. But He says, no, hold fast. But God, why? Maybe He's just going to say, let me show you why. I'm going to work through you. Hold fast. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Verse 23, it says this. It's in your outlines. Is it up there? Yeah, it's up there. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God is, He's faithful. When He gives us a promise, He's faithful. Hold fast to your confession of Jesus Christ. Not just a believer, but a follower. Hold fast to that confession, because He who promised is faithful. Did you know that God's word is good even when it doesn't look like it? Did you know that? On your worst day, God is still faithful. On God's worst day, which there really is not one, He is still faithful. When it seems like God has lied to you, your word said, but now this is happening, God is still faithful in the midst of even that mess right there. Maybe you're going through a time and it just seems like people are backtracking on you, or your faith has been shaken. God is still faithful in the midst of all of that. He who promised is faithful. The problem is this. There's a gap between God's promise and God's fulfillment of that promise. Okay? God will give us a promise, and then there's the fulfillment of it. The problem is that there's a gap in the middle, and He doesn't tell us how long that gap will be. That's the problem. So we say, those that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. You know, we start quoting Isaiah. And that's true, and it's good, and I'm not making fun of it. But when you're in the middle of the wait, and you're going, how long is this wait going to be? And you start thinking of ways to short-circuit it or make it quicker. You ever try to help God out? God, I know that we're trying to get from the promise to the fulfillment, but if you just let me take control, I'll get you right there. I got your back, God. Don't worry about this. I can take control, and that's the problem. We try to take control. He says, I've given you a promise. There is a time for let me try that again. God gives us a promise. There is a time for fulfillment. But that gap that's in the middle, God says, you have to trust me. So the question is are you trusting Him? Are you trusting Him? Because what will happen conversely is this. If God gives you a promise and there's this fulfillment, and if you draw away from the presence of God, what you do is you expand the distance between His promise and the fulfillment of it. Have you ever tried to help God out and it seemed like to get to that promise just took twice as long now? Maybe, just maybe, it's because we decided to draw back from God. I'm done with this. I want to throw in the towel. But then when you re-engage, at the time we had distanced ourselves, it takes longer. So He tells us, He says, if you're going through a hard time, hold fast. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. I'm not talking about just a relationship with God. I'm talking about people that are here in this church. You've been here for 30 years. You're saved and you know it. But the issue on the floor is this. Are you growing in your walk with Christ? Or have you become satisfied with becoming a comfortable Christian? Because He wants to use each and every one of us. Here, you know, the Lord will speak this to us at times. He spoke to me just this morning? You get to see the raw. I just said, God, you just things... It's not clicking. I don't feel razor sharp. I don't feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. God, what's wrong? And I was looking in the mirror and He said, when's the last time you did your devotions? And I said, probably like 5 or 7 days. And I realized for me, it's no wonder I don't feel razor sharp. I hadn't spent that time. I had stepped back. And when you draw away from the presence of God, all of a sudden He becomes smaller and your problems become bigger. And I said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. You see, but here's the key. God will speak that to you, but you have to come to that place of wanting to know what it is that God has to speak. Some of us say, God, I just want to know what your will for my life. They don't really want to know what the will is. What they're saying is this, God, I don't want to take responsibility and I don't want to have to do any work and spend any energy. So please just abracadabra it and make it happen. And He says, I'm not going to do that. When you come into my presence, you come boldly, but with an attitude of humility. You don't come walking, swinging your, walking in with this swag and this attitude and pretending like it's all about you. It's all about Him. And he says, draw near to me, and in the whole fast, don't throw in the towel. It's like a swimmer. Sometimes we can get comfortable and say, I'm just going to tread water for a while. You know, I've been serving the Lord for 25 years, 30 years, and we're treading the water. Here's the problem with treading water. If you're out in a river or you're out in an ocean where there's a current, you may say, I'm just going to stay right here. But the reality is the current's always pulling you back. You know that? You got to swim forward. You got to move forward. But it works. It takes energy. Yeah, it does. Keep on swimming. Because the moment you say, well, I'm just going to hover here for a while and relax, you'll start drifting. And then you'll wonder why you're caught out in the current, way out in the middle of the ocean. And you'll be lost at sea. He says, hold fast and don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep moving forward. It is a must. Number four, write this down. If we're going to learn what it means to be encouraged in a biblical way and to be an encourager, then get involved in strengthening other believers. Get involved. Say, Pastor, I want to grow in my walk with Christ. Get involved. Well, I want to get involved in understanding a deeper walk with Christ than get involved in what he is doing here in this church. Hey, but Pastor, it just seems like things are weak and I want to become stronger. Get involved. Why? Because it's important to get involved in part of the body of Christ. We are members of the body. The body makes up the church, which is the body of Christ, and we are here to do his will. As we get involved, he says, if you want to learn to be an encourager, get involved especially in strengthening other believers. Verse 24, let us consider, it says, how to stimulate, or another word a translation uses is motivate one another to love and good deeds or good works. So now he introduces this principle of motivation. He knows we're subject to discouragement in life because there's evil in this world. There's sin in this world. So we are subject to discouragement. So he says to the church, part of your job, church, is to consider, to have a plan, to get involved in motivating one another, other believers. And one of the main reasons, did you know one of the main reasons you and I should come to church has less to do with the worship and has less to do with the message. Now, are they bad? Is that wrong? No. We come and worship God. We sing the songs. We have a message that will challenge us. Hopefully it challenges you. And we become challenged, this prompting from the Holy Spirit. But one of the main reasons that we are to come together as a body of believers is to motivate, to stimulate one another as other believers, to give hope to one another, so that when you're going through a hard time, you may be over here and you're depressed and dealing with some sad thing in your life, but you know somebody over here that overcame. They can motivate you so that you know you can make it. That's who we're to be as a church. That's why we get together as the body of Christ. He says, consider how to motivate one another. It's not pulpit to pew. It's pew to pew. That's the way it works. And don't ask me who came up with the name pew. I think that's a horrible name, but it's one believer motivating another believer. He says, I want you to think about how you're going to motivate one another. Kind of like, how many of you are coffee drinkers? Coffee drinkers? How many of you had a cup of coffee this morning? How many of you take it black? The black coffee. How many of you have to have the cream? Cream and sugar. Yeah? All right. That has nothing to do with my message. I was just curious, but like coffee in the morning. When you drink a cup of coffee in the morning, you know what it does? It wakes you up. It stimulates you. It motivates you. You could drink a cup of decaf coffee. Well, Pastor, I drink decaf, so it's not motivating nothing. Yes, it is. Because your body has gotten used to this routine of when I get up in the morning, I get a cup of coffee from that Keurig machine, and I put a thing of cream and a thing of sugar. And my body knows that when I drink this cup of coffee, you better be awake by the end of this cup because you got to get a shower, you got to get moving, there's work to be done, things to accomplish, and I become awakened. My body has become used to this routine. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I'm thinking of is, let's go get a cup of coffee. And when I do that, it motivates me. You see, everybody here ought to be one of two categories, either an encourager or an encouragee. It should be going on. If you're facing something that's difficult right now, you should be being encouraged by other believers. You should be seeking them out. Somebody that can give you that kind of a hope. You need to be the one who is encouraging one another. You see, is there any cheerleaders here today? You were a cheerleader in high school, not now. Yeah? Go ahead, come on, wave your hand proudly. Yes? I'm a cheerleader. Okay. How many of you still have your uniform and pom-poms? That's good, because that would be really sad. No, just kidding. Cheerleaders, what's your job? What's your job? To cheer on the team. Only if they're winning? Do you cheer them when they lose too? Why? They're losing. Why are you cheering about their losing? The job of a cheerleader is to motivate a team regardless of what's taking place on the field. They are to get out there and say, S-U-C-C-E-S-S, that's the way we spell success, right? No. How many of you like a cheerleader that got there and said, F-A-A, or how do you spell failure? F-A-I-L-U-R-E. You know, you don't need a cheerleader telling you what you did wrong. He dropped the ball again. You know, yep. Losers, I say, you're losers. No, you don't need those kind of cheerleaders. None of us do. You know why? Because there's enough of them out there already. The world is telling us what we can't do. And then when we do it, it tells us how we did it wrong. And then when we do it wrong, it tells us you never should do it again because you're a failure. You see, when you understand what it means, when the Bible talks about encouraging one another, you and I, what it's supposed to be about, it's about strengthening one another, other believers. We come together. We get here today, not just to see a pastor jump around and spell success. We get together to motivate one another. So when we get here and we say, man, it has just been difficult and I don't know if I can make it. The pink slip I got in the mail, they're going to decide this Tuesday, and somebody comes along and says, you know what, I got a pink slip too. Whether you get the pink slip or not, it'll all be good because your God's bigger than that pink slip, and you get motivated in your heart. See, it's not about the pink slip. It's not about using God to get what you want. It's about realizing God is God over all things. And when you understand that we are to encourage others, the question on the floor should be this: what are we encouraging them with? Because if we don't have His Spirit within us, I'm not going to be a very good encourager. I'm not even a good speller, as you found out. But when I have the Spirit of God within me, it's not about me, it's about His Spirit in me that ministers to you. That's how we encourage one another. The last point, write this down, I think it's number 5. We're going to learn what it means to be an encourager. We have to give or receive hope through encouragement. Well, what do you mean by that? Let me read Romans 15 to you. Romans 15, I'm going to start at verse 4. I think 5 is up there. I'm going to go a verse back. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We've got to have hope. Verse 5, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." And then verse 6 goes on to say, "So that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ." What he's saying is this, that when you understand this encouraging one another, that the goal is we are to encourage with the Spirit that God gives us, because what it does is it gives a hope, not only to you, but to those around you. And we all want hope. We're all looking for hope. We all want to know that there's a possibility, there's a chance that God just may do something with my life, or use this ministry, or use this job, or use these hands, or use this mouth. Lord, let it be so that encourage me in my spirit. How does that come about? It comes about when we as believers start saying, God, fill me with your spirit so I may be encouraged from you and then be an encouragement to others. May I start speaking those words of life to others so that I can be and receive those benefits from you. Remember the premise or the thesis of this series, the one another's, is our horizontal relationship is directly tied to our vertical relationship with God. If we cannot love, serve, give, edify, encourage, or bless others, then it limits what God can do in our life. It limits that flow. Pastor, I thought God, you know, he blessed you so you could bless others. Yes, he does. But he says the little you have, use what you got. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Let me end with this. When we're talking about encouragement, there's an understanding that we have to have about the hope that God has in us. Because we struggle. But if you're a mom and you've had children that you've trained to walk, isn't that just a fun thing? I mean, I don't know a mom around that has not set her child down to take the first steps and hasn't had some kind of a picture, a video. I mean, they're doing calling the neighbors and all, you know, just letting the word be known. Because it's a huge milestone in their child's life, right? Is that right? Moms? Okay, it is a big deal to you, first steps. Dads are usually like, all right, about time you walked. Moms will go, oh, look at him, Johnny, he's doing so good. They are the best motivators I've ever found. Because what they'll do is they'll set the baby down and they'll say, okay, Johnny, you ready? Stand there. And the baby will kind of do one of these. You know, making all these faces. And you go, okay, Johnny, come on, take a step. You can do it. And they get all excited and they start drooling. Ah, you know, making all those noises. And boom, they fall down. What does the mom do? Does she go over there and go, you idiot? Moms don't do that. Moms don't do that. Moms go, oh, Johnny, it's okay. Come here. Stand up. And they put them right back on their feet. Stand up. You can do this, Johnny. You got this. You ready? Come on. All right. Yeah, get this snot off your nose. Good. There you go. Now, come on, Johnny. You can do it. And Johnny gets all excited. Ah, you know, messes their pants and falls over again. Set Johnny back up. Come on. You can do it. And Johnny all of a sudden takes that first step. And they ain't quite got it, but they're just excited, and the mom goes ballistic. How is this first step? And they're tweeting and Facebooking and calling neighbors. He walked. They're so excited. You see, some of us, God wants to encourage us so we can start walking. Some of us, that's what we're to be as a body of believers, is encouraging one another, motivating one another, stimulating one another to good works and good deeds. What does that mean? It means we as a body of believers, Church of the Open Door, are to be going down with other people that are struggling. Maybe they're having a hard time walking. We're going, okay, come on, you can do it. You can do this. You got this. I know that you're struggling with that screen on your computer, but you can overcome this. Greater is he that's within you than anything in this world. We don't look at them and say, you failure, you idiot, you loser. God, you stupid or what? No, we look at them and say, you can do this. Maybe you're struggling with pornography, and you're saying, I can't let anybody know that, but we should be a body that says, you can overcome that. You don't have to be subject to that. It doesn't have to have victory over your life, and we encourage them on. We should be a church that's coming along saying, that addiction, that habit, that attitude, whatever it is, we can walk with you in this, but we have to be willing to be an encourager. If you're going to be an encourager, my question to you is this. What are you allowing to encourage you? What are you saying that I am open to receiving so that I can give to others? Because just as much as you can receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that you can bless others, you can receive an attitude that's negative and give that to others. You can receive bitterness. Let that churn around for a while and then dish it out. But that's not what God's called us to be. He's called us to encourage one another with the same encouragement that he gives to you and to me. May we be a body of believers that leave today here. And here's my challenge to you. Find one person this week. One person. Not a big deal. I had somebody come and encourage me, and they didn't even know it. One person this week that you can encourage. I don't care how you do it. You can call them. You can drive to their house. You can email them. Smoke signal. Rain dance. I don't care. Find one way. One way to encourage them. Why? Because I don't want you to just hear about being an encourager. I want you to be an encourager. And do not look at the person next to you and say, you look good today. That does not count. All right? Find somebody later this week that we may be all that God's called us to be. Amen? Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we pray today that as we continue to progress and learning what it means to truly be a disciple of Christ, would you just stir our hearts, Father God, that the word that's planted, the seeds that are there, that they may take root, we may grow in our walk with you, and that our lives may produce much fruit. Because your word says that you will know his disciples by their fruit. So Lord, may we be a fruitful church. I just want to ask, maybe you're here today, and you're going through a great time of discouragement. You're disappointed. You're discouraged. You're dissatisfied. You're in despair. You're just in a season of dis everything. If you're here today, God's kind of just tweaked your heart. I just want you to do this. Hey, you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to pray for you today that you would receive that anointing that God gives. Because encouragement's one thing, but the anointing of the Spirit's another. I agree with you. God sees your hand. And as you raise your hand, God sees your heart. And he gives you what you need. He may not give you what you want, but that which you need will supersede whatever you wanted in the first place anyway. Just receive that today. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand. He knows your heart. He knows your home. He knows your motives. And he knows everything that's going on. Everything that's crossed your path. Everything that's crossed your mind. Every question, every fear, every concern. He says, I understand and I give you my spirit. You may not have all the answers right now, but you have him. You have the answer. And he will give you the great grace and peace you need as you walk day by day. I agree with you, my sister. God sees your hand. As you raise your hand, God sees your heart. whatever word has been spoken, whatever word curse, whatever the word it was that stung you and cut you, he comes and heals that by the power of his Holy Spirit. Because he says, I've got a word for you too. It's right there on the wall. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never leave you or forsake you. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand. He sees your heart. And as you receive that today, he will strengthen you with an anointing of his Spirit. He's not going to make you into something you don't want to be, any kind of a weird person. He's going to encourage your heart, and he's going to give you direction. But you have to be willing to go his direction instead of yours. And when you do that, you will see him, you will see the fruit of that. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. My sister, that as you raise your hand, it's a season of dis. It just seems like everything has been down, but yet you've been faithful to him. You've walked with him. You've not given up on him. And at some point you had to have thought, I just want to quit. I just want to give up. I want to throw in the towel. But he says, you've not done that. And because you've not done that, I am faithful. I gave you a promise. And the promise I gave you, I will fulfill. Whatever that promise was, you may be getting discouraged through the season of the gap. But he says, it's a coming. You wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength, and you will receive that promise. Is there any other hearts here today? If you feel that, just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I agree with you. God sees your hand. And you may feel like, how could God love somebody like me? But I want you to know God's up there going, how could I not love somebody like you? He wants to show you and reveal to you a new covenant, a new life. He's not going to make you weird. He's not going to change you to become something you don't want to be. He loves you for who you are and just wants to be a part of your life. So as you raise your hand, he says, I meet you right where you're at. Sins forgiven. You may remember what you did in the past, but he doesn't. He says, behold, all things become brand new because of a new covenant he makes with you. And he loves you right where you're at. Is there any other hearts here today? I agree with you, my sister. God sees your hand and your heart. There's been discouragement that's come down the path. There's been things that have given you roadblocks. And even some of those roadblocks were ones that you've created. And you knew that. And therefore, there's some shame that comes with it. But he says, don't be ashamed. Don't be discouraged by that. Know that I'm a God that can cause you to be an overcomer. But are you willing to trust him now to lead you? And as you trust him to lead you instead of you leading you, he will bring you to a place of life. Life not like breathing, I'm surviving. Life like fulfilling. Life like, man, I never experienced it this way before. He gives that to you because God is life and God is love. And as you listen and obey, he says, I give you my life and I give you my love. Is there any other hearts here today? I agree with you. God sees your heart. And it's a wrestling match. You've got a wrestling match that is going on. There is a battle for your soul because they know you're valuable even while you're thinking you're not. You've questioned it. Who am I? What can I do? Look at all the mistakes I've made. I mean, what could I amount to? Very much. That's why the battle's going on. So don't give them place. Don't give them a foothold. Don't give them a stronghold. Understand that God says you're valuable. You may feel like the old wrinkled up paper bag, like that story we've told before, but when God looks at you, he sees the diamond that's inside, and you are valuable to him. But to receive that and walk in that means you're going to have to make some choices, and that's what maybe gives you pause. He will strengthen you to make those decisions, the right decisions. He'll give you the strength to walk in them as well. As he pours his Spirit into your life. Is there any other hearts here? You just feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I agree with you. God sees your heart. Just a discouragement that's been there. It's kind of like a wet blanket that's been there. It's not that you're not happy. It's just that you're tired of the wet blanket. You want it to be gone, but sometimes when you go to let the blanket go and he goes to take it from you, you take it back from him. And he wants to know if you'll just let it go. Will you just let it go? I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. I don't know what situation that deals with, but will you just trust him? Maybe it won't turn out the way you think. Maybe it won't go the direction you want, but maybe he's got a better plan. And he just wants you to open up your hands and do two things. Let go and then turn them hands and worship him. Because as you worship him, God's going to take care of whatever that is, and he's going to heal your heart in the process. Receive that. Is there any hearts here today? Wait for just a moment. Okay. Will you stand with me this morning? I just want to say, number one, thank you. You know, we're 9 minutes over, but I tell you what, when God's moving, I don't really feel like saying, God, I'm sorry, we got to go eat lunch. God's a good, yeah, give him a hand. One person this week that you can encourage, speak a kind word to, let them know that they're loved. Do that. God bless you. You're dismissed.